So as I said, we're starting a new series, Knowing Jesus in the Psalms. God willing, for the next 11 weeks, we'll be week by week looking at a new psalm and thinking about how we can know Jesus through particular psalms. Just a reminder that the Bible, as we have it, looks like just one book, but it's actually a library between two covers. It's a library of 66 books in all. 39 of those books record what happened up until the time that Jesus came. The other 27 speak of the time following Jesus coming to earth. Pretty well right in the middle of the Bible are a set of poetic books. And possibly the most poetic book is the Book of Psalms. There are 150 psalms, and the word psalm is just a Greek word which means song, something that you sing. But these aren't just any old songs. These are 150 special songs which are right there in the middle of the Bible and speak very powerfully about who God is, what he has done for his people. And just a reminder again of how these fit in time. So we'll just... This is a timeline, if you like, of God's dealings with humanity. Arbitrarily, that's where we are right now. And right back at the beginning, Jesus created the universe. At the, if you like, the point of history where history really turned around, Jesus was born as a human. He lived and died, rose from death and went to heaven. And in the future, he's going to come back, judge the world and take his people to be with him. We don't know exactly when that time is, but we're living in the time between now and when he returns. So that's the big timeline, but Bible history tells us that there were leaders called, like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and then following that, Moses. And during that time that I've highlighted there, a whole set of songs were written. Many of those songs looked forward to the time when Jesus would come. And in many of those songs, Jesus is very clearly spoken about. In some of those songs, it's a bit harder to discern who they're talking about, but with our position now being able to look back at when Jesus came, we can see in the Psalms, yes, that's actually speaking about Jesus. So, thanks, Tim. So, I believe that the first psalm in the 150 psalms in the Bible is put there specifically as, if you like, a typical psalm. It's the introduction to the whole book. It introduces the themes that will run through the whole of the rest of the psalm. So let's just read it now and have a think about it. Thanks, Tim. Six verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay, so that if that's a typical psalm, if that's a pattern, if you like, that's setting the scene for all of the other songs in the book, what can we learn? I'd like to suggest there are three things that we can take from this psalm that we can keep in mind about the whole of the book of Psalms. Remember, these aren't just poems that were made up by your average ordinary human being who has just had a bright idea about a nice song that you could sing. These are words, the Bible tells us, that are actually breathed out by God. They were breathed into the hearts of poetic men, men with certainly great poetic skill, but they were written with a purpose. They were written so that God's people could sing them. They could sing these songs about God. And these songs are written so that God's people could express truth with deep feeling. We'll see again in a minute. This psalm starts off with the words, "Blessed is the man." In the sense, if you literally could translate the Hebrew, it says something like, "Oh, the happiness of that man." Psalms aren't just bare facts. Psalms express deep feeling, the deep emotions of God's people. Many of the psalms brim over with joy, but other psalms speak of the deep sorrows that God's people go through. The psalms express deep truth with deep feeling. The other thing to notice is that word L-O-R-D in capital letters that occurs in many of the psalms. That is the personal name that the living God revealed to his people. In the Hebrew language, it's written down as just those four consonants, Y-H-W-H. No vowels were written in the original document, so it's been left to people to try to work out what the vowels probably were, and a lot of people think that the vowels, if they're put in, the name was probably pronounced Yahweh. When German translators were translating this word, they used a J because in German J is pronounced Y, so that's Jehovah in German. So in our English language we will say Jehovah. It's another kind of translation of that Hebrew name, but it's usually written in our Bibles as the Lord. But remember, that's a personal name. That's the personal name that God revealed to his people, that he said, "You can know me by this name." You know, if you come up to somebody in the street and they're just a stranger, they remain a stranger. But if they come up and introduce themselves and say, like if I came up and said, "Hello, I'm Peter," and Michael said, "Oh, I'm Michael," then you're starting to get to know each other. And when God reveals his name, he reveals himself as a God who can be known personally. So whenever you see that L-O-R-D in capital letters, remember that's God's personal name. And the Psalms speak about who God is in himself. Over and over again, God is revealed for who he is, the kind of God he is. And also importantly, they reveal what he has done and what he will do as a promise maker and a promise keeper on behalf of his people. The Psalms speak of God as a promise maker and a promise keeper for his people, as the true and living God, and also as the judge of humankind. This psalm sets us up I believe, to understand that these are truths and aspects that we will meet over and over again through the whole 150 Psalms. But something I think we can keep in mind as we look at, thanks Tim, if we can look at Psalm 1, there are three things that we can notice about this psalm as a typical psalm. This psalm really points out to us the difference between those who love God on the one hand and those who reject him on the other. It emphasises to us the importance of God's law. The Hebrew word is Torah. It just means law, and especially refers to God's word as the psalmist had it written down at the time. For us, it means the Bible. And throughout the book of the Psalms, song after song after song, we'll speak about the law of God. And when we see that expression, basically we can think the Bible, how God has revealed himself in written down words. And it shows us that the Bible is something to be read, to be deeply thought about, and to be fully lived out. It's not just an interesting book from a long time ago that we can find quaint and interesting facts in. It's a personal revealing of himself by the living God. It's a showing the promises that he makes as a God, the promises that he keeps as God, the rescue that he makes for his people, and, as I said, the judgment that he will judge. And I think thirdly, as we think about this psalm, it makes us think, wow, there's an offer of blessing. There's a pattern of thinking and living. Who could live up to that? Wow. The man who just spends all day and night thinking about God's word and just never getting involved in sin and always living righteously. Oh, wow, what a standard. Who could live up to that? So let's just look back at the psalm and have a think about what it can teach us about those things. Thanks, Tim. So there's the psalm as we saw it. And again, just some things to highlight. As I said, it shows us a contrast, a difference. And there are differences all over the place between those who love God and those who reject him. There are some boys and girls here, and I'm sure lots of you have noticed yourselves that I've put some words in slopey writing and some words with shadows behind them. So can you tell me some of the words that speak about the people who reject God? What ways does this psalm talk about the people who reject God? What names does it give them? Thanks. Sinners? Yes, it compares them to chaff, that's right. Ungodly? One more. Scornful, yes. Okay, so there are a group of people, there's an identifiable group of people who are called ungodly, sinners, scornful, unrighteous, ungodly. So that's one group of people. How about the people who love God? What are they called? Thank you. Yes, they're spoken of as blessed. Righteous, that's right. So it's a comparison between the righteous and the ungodly. So, as I said, this is poetry. And as we go through the Psalms, as we look at 9 specific Psalms that we'll look at ways that Jesus personally and specifically has spoken about, we'll see there's lots of poetry. And one of the Typical things of poetry is that it uses words to paint a picture. So, what picture do you see there in that first verse? What picture comes into your mind as you read? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Do you get a picture in your head of someone doing something? Let me act it out for you. Okay, here's a person. He's walking along the path. And there's a bunch of people there who are maybe plotting something evil. They might be plotting to rob someone or they might be plotting to rob someone. And he says, I'm not going to go over and join them. I'm going to keep separate from them in the path that I'm walking. But then he comes along and there's a bunch of people standing there who are plotting something evil. And he says, I'm not going to stop and stand and talk to them and get involved in the evil things that they're doing. I'm going to keep walking. Further along the path, he sees some people who are actually sitting there in a bunch. And they're also not just plotting to do something evil, they're actively scorning God, they're scorning God's word, they're scorning God's name. And he says, I'm not going to join them, I'm not going to stand there with them, I'm certainly not going to sit there and join in the evil speaking that they're doing. So there's a picture of someone walking along a path, and that's a description of the way we go through life. So the psalm starts off and says, oh, the happiness of the person who walks through life and avoids getting tangled up with people who are ungodly, who are sinful, who speak badly about God. There's another picture in the second verse. Can you say what comes into your mind as you read that verse? What sort of picture do you see? Number two, see? Two, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Yep, someone reading the Bible. Somebody who's got the Bible open, they're saying, oh, wow, this is just so good. I'm really loving getting to know more about God. And I'm going to remember these things so that when I'm at work today and I'm tempted to get angry at my co-workers or yell at the boss, or if I'm at school, if I'm tempted to say something mean to the other boys and girls, I'm going to remember what I read in the Bible this morning, and I'm going to think about, all day I'm going to be thinking about the things I've read in the Bible, and I'm going to be trying to live them out in my life. There's another picture in verse 3. This is a pretty easy picture to get. Come on, can you describe me? What picture do you get in your mind when you read verse 3? He shall be like a tree. Yes. A tree, that's right. So here's a nice creek running along, and there's a tree, and it's right on the bank of the creek, and its roots go right into the water, and lovely moisture comes up through the roots of the tree, and the sap rises, and what does the tree do? It has lots of branches, and then it has fruit and grows, and what else is on the branches of the tree? Leaves, yes, very good. And what do the leaves look like? What colour are the leaves? Green, they're green and fresh and moist and That's the happiness that the psalm says. The psalm says the person who's going through their life and not getting involved with sinners, not walking with them or standing with them or sitting with them, who's really delighting in the Bible and thinking about it all through the day and in the evening and trying to put it into practice, that person is just, their life is just full of goodness and liveliness, just like a tree that's sitting by the side of a river, that's the sap's coming up, fruit's coming forth, its leaves are nice and green. And the psalmist says the happiness of that person is so great that basically whatever he sets his hand to do in God's service will prosper. God will water him and nourish him. So that's a set of three pictures. And there's another picture in verse 4. What picture do you see? Does anyone know what chaff is? Some people know what chaff is. If you grow wheat, for example, there's a stalk comes up and it's all green and you have the grain in the head and people come along and cut it and then they dry it out. And what you want to eat is the nice, nourishing grains of wheat. You don't want all the stalky, dry, shelly bits that are around it. And so what people used to do in Bible times was to hit the grain hard so the grain came out, and then they would throw that up in the air on a windy day so the wind would blow all of the dry, yucky, chaffy bits that would be too chewy to eat and no nourishment in them at all away. And that's the picture that the psalm gives us of chaff, dry, no goodness in it, useless, being blown away. And what's that a picture of? That's right, the ungodly. It's saying the one who walks through life avoiding sin, the one who loves God's law, is like a tree full of sap and green leaves and bearing fruit. It's just so rich and full of life. But the ungodly, the person who rejects God and hates God, is dried up, withered, useless, ready for the wind to blow it away. Can you see the contrast that the psalmist is drawing for us? Two very different pictures, using words to help us in our minds to get a picture of this is how God sees those who love him. This is how God sees those who reject him. And the psalmist draws a conclusion from that. He says, well, if the ungodly are like the chaff that the wind blows away, when the time comes for God to judge, the ungodly will be cast out like that chaff is blown away by the wind. They won't be part of God's people. They will be cast away. And he says there's a reason for that. He says, for the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the covenant God of his people, knows the way of the righteous. He's intimately, has an intimate loving knowledge. That word doesn't just mean he knows about it. If you asked him a question, he could tell you the right answer. It means that he is intimately and deeply involved in the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. So thanks, Tim. As I said, there are three things particularly that we can notice about this psalm is a typical psalm. There's a difference between those who love God and those who reject him, and the difference is life and death. The life coming up through the tree, bearing fruit, or the dead, useless chaff that's blown away. We see the importance of God's law, the Bible, and how important it is to read it, to think deeply about it and live it out. But, as I said, who can live up to that standard? If we're really honest with ourselves, we think of those pictures, can any of us perfectly live out that standard that's set there? If we're honest with ourselves, we can't live a perfectly good life to get that blessing from God. We need someone to do it in our place. And that's why we want to look through a set of psalms that speak about Jesus. Jesus is the perfect one who walked through the whole of his life. Never once walked with sinners, stood with them and got involved in their sinful activities, or sat to participate in scorning God. He was certainly the friend of sinners, but he wasn't involved in their sinful behaviour. We see Jesus as the one who loved God's law, who did meditate in it day and night. We see him as the one who took the judgment of God against the ungodly, the ungodliness of those who would trust him. And because of that, the life that is pictured for us in this psalm, the tree with abundant fruit, green leaves, flourishing under God's care, is available. Thanks, Tim. As we go through the next 9 weeks, we'll find out a whole pile of things from specific psalms about Jesus. We'll see that he's the divine Son of God, that he's the King of Kings, that he is the judge of all. He is the perfect man. He is the suffering, dying rescuer of his people. He's the one who conquered death. He's the good shepherd of his people. He delights to obey God. He's spoken of as the heavenly husband of his people. He's a unique priest bringing sinners back to God. And although he was God's choice, grievously he was rejected by the people he was sent to declare the good news, to whom he was sent to declare the good news. So I really encourage you over the next weeks as we look, and we'll be, as I said, looking at Psalm 2 next week. We're better to go after Psalm 1 than Psalm 2. And Gavin will be leading us in that Bible talk. But do remember those things that I've spoken about tonight, that these psalms are poetry. They're poetry that speaks deep truth with deep feeling. And they're songs to be sung as well. So hopefully we'll be able to sing a version of each psalm each time, and maybe drive that truth about God deeper into our lives.